Hi, I'm Danny Mills. You're listening to Ravens Weekly.
You could have been a supporter of any football team. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. You could have been following the champions of the Champions League. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me, and that's the town where I come from. In Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley.
Hello everyone and welcome to episode 36 of Ravens Weekly, the official Bromley FC podcast, proudly supported by our friends at Crown Ash Developments. As ever, I'm joined by Matt.
Hello, Jeff.
No cookie this week. A big thank you to everybody who's downloaded this episode and is tuning in. Obviously, we're going to start with Solihull Moors last weekend. Matt, again, another fantastic crowd, over 1,500 in at Hayes Lane, which is absolutely brilliant. But it's always going to be a tough fare up against, playoffs, not playoff chasing, are they?
Title chasing.
Solihull Moors, and that's exactly what it proved to be.
It was not as difficult as the 5-0 defeat we had to them earlier this season, but we knew it was going to be a difficult game without the injuries. And unfortunately, as those of you who are at the game will remember very well, we had two academy kids on the bench, or under 23 players. We had a sub goalkeeper as well. We were very limited. I think the only actual first team player we had on the bench was Alan Dunn, and obviously it limits us a lot. We had several players missing from the starting 11 as well. George was the only sort of forward that we had in the entire squad, and he's not an out and out striker, but he worked hard and tried to lead the line well. And Bromley played some really nice football, but it just fell apart when it got to the box.
And obviously you mentioned that. I don't know who's singing in the background.
That's very bad singing, whoever it is. I think that's Ammo, actually.
Obviously, you refer to George being only striker forward player out there. I think obviously Neil referred to it in his interview with yourself after the game, and here's what he had to say.
Neil, I've seen us play a lot worse and win comfortably today. Fantastic performance, just not the result we wanted.
Apart from George, both my strikers are injured at the moment. Omar with a twisted ankle, Hoops with his groin, George was up there on his own. Then we played a three in behind him. I've had a call on everybody that we had. We gave Briggsy his debut because we've only got three kids on the bench with a goalkeeper. And no disrespect, Alan Dunn, who has been absolutely immense. So for us to play a team at third in the table, looking to still go up as automatic and champions and playoffs and everything else, I thought that was a fantastic performance. The boys looked at each other and they couldn't have done it any better. Apart from maybe finishing the couple we had in the first half, it was always going to be difficult, an uphill challenge, but the boys stood up to it. I prefer that performance than losing to the one we had on Tuesday, if I've got to be brutally honest. But to a man, I thought the supporters could see they gave everything today.
And so many, like you say, so many key players missing today, but the ones who came in, such as Brendan, fantastic from him today.
Brendan's been brilliant since he's come in on loan, and he's an absolute credit to himself and Cheltenham Athletic Football Club. As I said, George is in up there on his own. They've all given me everything. I can't go through any one of them. I thought defensively, apart from two times when we should have done better, they get their goal. And then Gregor's pulled off a great save. But I thought we had them under. Brin's had the shot. George Porter in the first half with a couple of through balls, one on one. Maybe he could have done better, but. I think it's a great show from where we were this time when we played them early on in the season as a performance to this performance. It's miles apart.
And another player just to pick out, Sam Wood, absolutely phenomenal today and a deserved man of the match.
He's been brilliant again since he signed for us, and for myself he's been absolutely outstanding. I feel sorry for him today because he's blaming himself for the second goal, but I thought other than that his performance was immaculate, and it has been again since he signed. He's been a fantastic servant of this club, and long may it continue.
And not a very long break at all until the next game away at Barnet on Monday. Looking to maybe do more of the same and hopefully get a result this time.
Yeah, I'm hoping I've got a few more players to choose from. It will be difficult. The boys are just icing bruises and strains and stuff like that. They'll have tomorrow off. We'll be in Sunday preparing for Barnet on Monday. We want to win. I've just said to the boys, we're 13th. If we win on Monday, we go 12th. And I think with the season we've had with injuries and the inconsistency, I think if we come in the top half, I think it'd be a massive achievement for this club.
Thank you.
As Neil referred to there, obviously a hell of a tough task on Saturday, but an opportunity to put things right a couple of days later. Obviously, bank holiday Monday in a blazing heat, really, at the Hive, Barnet away.
Yeah, it was. It wasn't a very long break at all. The players had the Saturday off to recover, and then they were back in training on the Sunday in preparation for that Barnet game, which obviously we travelled, made the short journey to on Easter Monday. That was a 3 o'clock kickoff, and I tell you what, from about midday, we got to the ground. The sun, like you say, Jeff, was blazing. The pitch was wonderful, but where myself and Cookie sat for the commentary was sun facing for the whole game. There was no cover, and I picked up a little bit of sun, but not as much as Cookie, who I think myself and Adam Mecky were saying it was like a ham sandwich. We were the bread and Cookie was the ham, it was that sort of colour, sort of midway through the second half. But in terms of a pitch to play on, even at this stage of the season, their last home game, it was pristine. It was an incredible surface.
Incredible. They've got a massive setup there, haven't they?
They do,
stand,
yeah.
They've got some other pitches, a health gym, everything like that.
The Hive, it's all branded as the Hive London, isn't it, rather than just a stadium.
Didn't England train there the other day?
Yeah, they did, yeah.
Quite incredible. Obviously, again, fantastic following from the Bromley supporters for behind the goal.
192, so yeah, just under 200. It was really, really good. They were in good voice as well throughout the game. They were sort of penned into one section of the stand behind the goal in the corner, and it was great to sort of see a few faces we could recognise and a few voices we could definitely recognise, Nigel.
Obviously, I know it was a stalemate. Was there much to cheer about?
I think Bromley deserved the win very narrowly. It was a good performance. Again, we were suffering with injuries. We were missing key players, but it was good to see JJ back. George as well played very well. Once again, led the line with JJ. And Jordan Higgs, again, a standout since he's come back into the squad. Really deserved his goal. Arguably should have scored, should have put us ahead before half-time. And then obviously did very early in the second half. We then were pressing for a second and should have scored a second. JJ, obviously our top scorer now with 18 goals, missing a couple of gilt-edged chances that he would have had he been really fit. Had he not missed the past two games, would have banged in. And then they got the equaliser sort of with 15 minutes left, and after that George hits the post and it sort of rolls across the line, and you can just tell it's not going to be your afternoon. And then in the final minute, JJ's missed a good chance. So all in all, I think we deserve the win, but it's a point away from home against a good side.
Obviously, as ever, we managed to catch up with manager Neil Smith after the game. However, I think Cookie must have been in a rush here, because usually you have to wait pitch side, you might have to wait for the stadium tannoy PA to be turned off, or, you know, depending on if you're having to wait in a tunnel, wait for some of the players to leave so you can do it in a controlled environment and you can actually hear what's being said. I think Cookie had to get away quick here, because he starts the interview, it sounds like he's directly underneath the PA speaker for the ground. So bear with us for the first bit of the interview. You do eventually manage to hear Neil Smith.
Neil Smith, thank you very much for joining us. Last away game of the season's finished. Barnet 1, Bromley 1. A game of 2 hours. Nothing much in the first, apart from a couple of misses. Second half, completely different story for both teams.
Yeah, I think some of these games can be classed as non-entity games and it doesn't really matter, but I think we saw a Bromley team that did make it matter. You know, when we scored the goal early in the second half, we're thinking, yeah, we go, we let a scruffy one in, and then we should have wrapped it up. George Porter, I think everything right, closed down, won the ball, one of them with a keeper, six it past him, if both the ones across the line, and he hoops right at death. All season he's been putting those in, so we missed. So, you know, disappointed we come away with a draw. I think we actually deserve the win.
Yeah, like you said, it's disappointing coming out with Jordan, but surely a testament to how well the players done, especially Jordan Higgs today. Again, another man of the match performance.
Absolutely. You know, since he's been fully fit, and probably to his testament, he was telling me he was fit at the beginning of the season when he probably wasn't, and I was using him and I wasn't getting the best out of him. Since he's had, you know, all the injuries cleared up, he's now playing like Jordan Higgs, who I know can play, you know, and the goal was fantastic. Great ball in my brooms, and then for him to get on the end of it, he was amazing. But he covered every blade of grass today, and just show how committed he is to the team and the club.
Just one more game to go now. Ebbsfleet at home, 12:30 kickoff next week at Westminster Way Stadium on Saturday. Are you close to having a full fit squad back?
We're hoping. You know, I'm going to give the boys a couple of days off. They've put a hell of a shift in. I haven't got many bodies. You know, even Mark, who come on in the, you know, last 15 minutes, he's got an injury, but he's willing to come on. He's sort of, you know, Roger limping around, but no, we're hoping to have everyone fit. as much as I've got everybody up for selection for the last game, and a game we want to win at home. Support was amazing at the end of the day. You know, a couple of boys off, and we know how much commitment they show us and spend their money to come and watch us. But you know, I think they saw a bunch of boys that, you know, were giving something back.
That's it. And finally, a contrast of weather changes. Did it have any effect with the players today with how hot it was, especially being in the open for so long?
Well, it was baking hot on Friday. So, you know, again, it might have zapped a little bit of energy out of them. But I don't think it looked like we were tired. I thought we kept on going. We were strong. You know, I've got a young bench and goalkeepers and stuff like that. So, you know, I only made the one substitution today. So those boys put a shift in the very hot weather today. But no, I can't fault them today, you know, apart from could we have done better on the goal, but I thought to a man they were amazing.
That's brilliant, Neil Smith. And again, like you said about the 192 away fans that travelled to come and see us today, it was good to get at least a point.
Yeah, they're brilliant. You know, I've said it, I know we've had disappointments this season, we've had ups and downs, no consistency, and when we have, we've done really well and, you know, got us out of trouble. But you know, they've stuck with it. They can see what we're trying to do. They can see this club is building. We're trying to get to the, you know, league as much as we can, but we're doing it the right way, we believe, you know, from the foundations up, and the supporters are backing us and supporting us, and long way it continues, because, you know, we want to finish on a high, but obviously start prepping for next season as well.
Fair play to Neil there, obviously contending with both the volume of the PA music there, and also the fact it appears he must have lost his voice during that game, Matt.
Yeah, it seems so. He was definitely barking across the touchline and across the pitch, I should say, during that game, and it was really, really hot as well. So maybe I had to repeat the instructions a few times. A few dozy minds there on the pitch.
Moving away from first team affairs now, obviously our professional development side, also known as the under-23s, proudly sponsored by our friends at Skill Crown. Big thanks to them as always. It's been their inaugural season, Matt. Their first season representing the club. I think Mark Hammond plays a big part in this, and Neil, and everyone trying to find that gap and bridge that gap between the academy, between the first team. And obviously, most of that job has been left in the capable hands of Danny Mills, Matt. And like you say, probably an event-filled first season for him.
It is, yeah. And Danny actually spoke about it really well, and I caught up with him. And it's really interesting to see how it's a real balance of academy players sort of coming towards the end of their time at the academy, possibly looking to go and play for a club, whether it be here or somewhere else, and actual players who are looking to push into the first team. And it's really good as well that it gives first teamers who may not have had as many matches this season, if they're registered, they can play in the under-23 matches, and it keeps the match fitness up as well. And it's a fantastic idea, and it works on so many fronts. But nobody is better qualified to talk about that than Millsy, as we call him, and here's what he had to say. So Danny Mills, you are the head of the development or under-23 side. Can you tell us a bit more about it? Obviously it's his first season in place here at Bromley Football Club.
Yeah, first season. We spoke about doing it last year. Sort of three-pronged, really. Firstly, to give the injured players for the first team a sort of game, or at least a game a week to play in if they're coming back from injury. Secondly, was to start producing our own players. I know we've had Aidan Enver and Jordan Higgs come out of the academy. Well, now it's my job to try and get a few more boys through the system and be that buffer between the first team. We've had boys from 18s go straight into the first team squad, but we need that middle ground. And that's because we play in the Suburban League. Eight out of the 11 teams we play against are our men's teams. So although our boys have been beaten up a little bit this year, it's been really good for them. And hopefully, you know, when they eventually make that jump to first team, it won't be such a big gap.
And obviously we have had three in particular that I can think of. There might be more players that have actually made the first team squad. So first of all, Billy Krask, obviously a lot of potential. Briggs and Prince as well. You must be really proud of that.
Yeah, I mean that's my job this year. I mean we're sort of languishing in sort of the lower mid table in the Suburban League, and we've used 60 odd players this year. But you know, for them three to come out of what, and actually they haven't come through our academy system. We recruited them after they were been released by their respective clubs. So Prince was at Ipswich, Briggs was at Dagenham, and Billy was at Plymouth, who we got from the exit trials, and they've more than deserved their chance this year. They've been fantastic, attitude wise. And you know, we speak to Mark Hammond and Neil Smith and Dunny all the time. You know, we've got two very talented boys, but those three attitude wise are at a different level. You know, especially Billy's had a fantastic year, and he, you know, deserves all the plaudits he gets.
And a lot of that integration has come in the Kent Senior Cup matches, which is an ideal opportunity for those players to play alongside the likes of Alan Dunn and really experienced players and learn from them as well, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, playing the games helps, but I think, you know, we've got a gaffer and first team managers and the staff that let our boys train with them all the time. You know, there's a lot of, you know, sort of academies and college programs out there that don't integrate their youngsters, but we do. And the gaffer knows everyone by name, and you know, they're always training over there, so he can tell you probably just as much as I can about them, although I have a lot more contact time. So there is a pathway, and sometimes the kids, they might look at it and go, well, is there a pathway? Well, there is. These three this year prove it. So you know, hopefully, you know, they're the three we signed from the 23s for next year. And then the 2.1s or the youth team boys have got to step up now and do exactly what they've done. And hopefully next year we've got another four or five with a potential to either play in our first team or play their football elsewhere. Because like I said, we have got some talented boys, but usually it's not their attitude. We haven't got bad kids, but it's just knowing. That's why it's good when they're around the first team, because they see how Jack Holland acts, and they see, I was going to say George Porter then, but that'd have been banned. They see how Luke Coulson acts. They we've got some really good role models within the team, and that's what they look at. And if you know, there's a sort of stepping stone to, you know, people doing it, you know, leading by example, and then our boys to follow. So it's been good.
And you talk about those pathways, like you say, they train right next to the first team, and actually we've seen Neil on quite a lot of occasions just pull a few of the under 23 players, and actually they're part of the first team session, which must be great for them.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest, I speak to the first team a lot, so, you know, Jack will pull me and he'll tell me exactly, you know, what he thinks of certain players that have gone over there. And the sort of highest praise I can even, you know, for all three of them actually, Prince, Billy, and and Briggs, they've all done fantastic, and they all get sort of mentioned by the first team, you know, and then the first team are now talking about them for, you know, they can more than handle it, or they can, you know, they could play on a Saturday, or they, you know, when's Billy going to be on the bench to get on? I mean, he's unlucky to get injured, Billy, but I'm sure he would have made his sort of starting debut if he didn't get injured. And you know, that, I think it's just strong going forward. I mean, we've got some good youngsters coming through as well. We've got, you know, Spencer Cripps and Claudio Krasniki, Alex Breffo, you know, we've got some Rodney Adam on, we've got some really good boys coming through.
And speaking of the achievements of the under-23s as well, we've seen a quarter-final reach this year, and then obviously the Suburban Challenge Plate final, where I came down to watch, and it was a group of really young players against a group of experienced older men, wasn't it?
Yeah, I said it's been cup final aside. I mean, it's been like that all year. As I said, eight out of the 11 teams we play against in the league, they're men's teams, and they're physically bigger than myself, or they're proper men, and with that comes physicality. But our boys have been more than up for the challenge. It's just a little bit of know-how, a little bit of sort of trying to impose ourselves on them rather than sort of adapting to their game. I mean, the game the other night, we ended up end up playing long ball, which we don't play, but it was more in accordance to how our opposition were playing. And yeah, the biggest achievement for us this year, I think, is, I mean, for me, as I said, the three boys going into the first team, our 2.1 group, which have, you know, there's some talented boys in there, but they've played a lot of 23s this year, and we've also had 10 or 11 first years play this year, which has been fantastic for me. That's what the 23s is about. Well, as Smudge would say, it's a reserve team, because we've had a couple of first team players play as well, which is brilliant, and hopefully we can continue. Like if I'm sure if we've got the reserves or 23s for the next sort of two or three years, it'll be like a travelator of players, you know, and we'll get players through the system, whether they end up at Bromley FC and playing in the first team or not, I don't know. But we've got, you know, hopefully we can sell boys, hopefully we can, you know, we can get boys to other clubs, and because we definitely have the talent here.
And speaking of the home games in particular, it's great that they're able to play on the stadium pitch, usually on a Friday night, and the club get behind it and promote the games, and we get quite a few fans who come down and show their support, which is great, isn't it? It must be brilliant for the boys.
Friday night under the lights, they all talk about it. That's where they want to play their football. At sort of quarter to eight, there's no one here, and then all of a sudden there's you know, 50 or 60 people in the stand, and it's been fantastic this year. And even me, I'm not the most excitable person, should we say. But I look forward to the Fridays. It's really good. It gives the boys an opportunity to not just showcase their talents, play in an environment where it is, I don't think sometimes they appreciate where they are. Under the lights, nice stadium, Gaffer will watch, Hammer will watch, Jerry's watched a few. So it's really good, and it's a good platform to play, and also a good advert for the club. I think we've had some good performances this year, especially at home.
Millsy, it's been great to catch up with you. We won't leave it so long next time, but thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Great to hear from Danny Mills there. Obviously, I think the most important thing, most important word probably in the whole of that is development. That's the whole point for the players that are involved. Obviously, we like to see wins, etc. And one of those times we would have loved to see a win was obviously on Tuesday night in the final, Matt.
Yeah, so it was the final of the Suburban Challenge Plate, which they did really, really well to get to, and it's not an easy task, especially with such a young side. And it was held at Met Police. A lot of Bromley fans will remember trips to that ground in the past.
Oh, London Senior Cup.
London Senior Cup being one of them, exactly. So, yeah, it was an interesting game for sure. So we got there, and obviously, predominantly, the Bromley side was young players, young academy players, sort of 16 to 18-year-olds. And then you saw the other team walk in, and they had maybe one or two players that were that age, and the rest were in their sort of mid to late 20s, and some of them in their 30s. So it was always going to be really difficult for... It was literally boys versus men. It was difficult. Footballing wise, Bromley were the better side, but unfortunately just didn't have many chances. The goal for the other side, Abbey Rangers, was actually a bit of a fluke. It was just a cross that came into the box and sort of sailed through the defence and into the net. So it was a bit of an unlucky one. That turned out to be the only goal of the evening, and whilst very disappointing, a lot of credit has to be given to these young lads who've made it to the final, and they also made it, as Millsy was saying, to a quarter final this season in another competition, and also having played on the stadium pitch a number of times now and getting the support network down to watch them is fantastic.
What he says about the chairman Jerry, the manager Neil Smith, Hammer, everyone coming down, and his genuine excitement and motivation for what he does. He's clearly very proud of what he does and how he plays his part in a bigger picture. It's fantastic to hear. Sort of touching back on first team affairs now, we're just going to flash back to our Good Friday match with Solihull Moors, because on the community front, Matt, it was a hell of a busy day.
Yeah, it was a very, very busy day, and I'm just losing track now of what's happened, but we were very, very privileged to have such wonderful guests, and Bickley Primary School being one of those. They all came down for a match day experience and really, really thoroughly enjoyed it. Got to play on the stadium pitch and do the flag bearing, and another one that may have caught your eye, and I know with a lot of the directors here it's sort of pulled a few of the heartstrings, was Riverside School, which obviously is a school for young people with physical or mental disabilities. They've got a site in Alpington and a site in Beckenham, and we invited them down to be our match day mascots, and we had some wonderful children with a range of different conditions come down, and you could just see how much it made their day to walk out with the players. And credit's got to go to the Solihull captain as well. I think it's Kyle Storer who walked out with one of the kids and helped Jack walk her out, and it was just incredible and heartwarming to see. They took the penalties at half time as well.
The penalties at half time,
it was unbelievable. I'm so glad I just turned my head in time to see it. The whole behind the goal was clapping this brave little girl as she went out to take her penalty, and they've actually said to us,
and you refer to that, refer to it, obviously I'm sure they won't mind me reading this out, but this was an email received obviously a couple of days afterwards, and you always try and stop and reflect on what worked, what didn't, what we do well, and I'd appreciate some of the smaller details. It's not always the result at the end of the day on our side of it that matters as much. And obviously this email came in from the head teacher at Riverside School. I just got home after today's game. I wanted to thank you for making it another lovely occasion for Riverside children and their families. I know that the kids love being flag bearers and mascots and clearly enjoyed the penalty shootout at half time. The crowd's reaction to Ruby as she walked to the penalty spot was particularly touching. A couple of the dad's families had never been to football before with their kids, so thank you so much for making this happen. I know that they will remember it for a long time. Sorry I didn't get to see you on a day. Thank you once again for your continued support and commitment to the school. If you could pass on my thanks to Neil, Jack and the players, I would appreciate it too. brilliant. Always lovely to hear anything. And it did carry on. And I've got to read these out as well, just because it was so nice to hear. This is Steve Day, the head of the PE coordinator at the school. The day was a revelation. Being able to provide a family, family to kids and seeing it flourish is the reason I love my job. I know this will offer a further insight into the opportunities available to families and the potential days out that they consider in the future. Thanks again to all those who are involved with the club for making this happen. And then again, Diane, who's the behavioural specialist and extended services manager down there. Making so many wonderful memories and dreams come true is a reason we look forward to coming into work every single day. Look forward to getting more remarkable days in our diary. Thank you so much from all my heart for everyone making these days so magical. Absolutely brilliant. And just a little reminder of the power of football in a wider community and everything that we try and do. Really touching, like you say. And again, yeah, like I said earlier, we added to another fantastic crowd.
It did, didn't it? And a lot of the families, like you would have heard in the emails, it was their first time coming down, and they'll be coming back because they were made to feel so
again,
welcome.
Over was it over 15, 1600?
It was 15,
And Solihull, I mean,
only brought about 150, I think, Solihull.
I thought a fantastic effort on our side. Yeah. Obviously, talking about crowds and where we are, everything. Obviously, we've got a job on our hands for next season. We've got to carry on improving our crowd. I think at the moment, before it stands, with one game to go, our average attendance is about 100, 120 up on last season.
Which is great, isn't it?
You know, which considering where we are and everything, how it's panned out, I think is a great achievement. But obviously, we want to beat that next season. The board have been fantastic and supported the price freeze on the early bird season tickets for a third year in a row, Matt, is that?
Yes, it is. Yeah, and obviously everyone will receive their renewal letters now, so...
Hopefully by now, apologies. We were literally doing the last few earlier on in this week, weren't we?
Run out of stamps, didn't we?
With the postage. But yeah, the early birds have... prices have been frozen, Matt. That offer is available until the 7th of June.
That's correct. Yeah, so, and it's had a good response, to be fair, already.
Been a
hasn't
brilliant
it?
Response so far. I know we haven't had a chance to have a count up, but I think we're well ahead of where we would have been this time last year. And last year we launched earlier, to be fair.
And that was with Wembley as well.
And everything going on as well. So yeah, they're already out on the website. Again, amazing value. I think was it work out a game £9
eight,
for an adult,
£8.70.
Like absolutely incredible. All the details are on the website if you haven't seen them already. Alternatively, tomorrow's game against Ebbsfleet United. Feel free to come in the office. We'll be able to give you all the details and process any season ticket applications for you. Right, I forgot what's next.
Oh, well, should we stick on the community front
apologies.
For now?
Yes, of course.
Yeah, so tonight, it's actually, after we're recording this, really, really exciting time for us, as we are proud to be hosting an evening with Mick McCarthy tonight, whose daughter goes to a school that I used to teach at St. Joseph's in Bromley North. And this is a fundraiser for the PTA, and it's going to make such a difference to what is a wonderful school. Neil went in there earlier this week as well to do an assembly, which some of you will seen on social media, and Neil is just such a pleasure to work with in regards to things like this. He's always putting himself forward to do it, and you wouldn't get many managers like that in the game nowadays. It's phenomenal. So an evening with Mick McCarthy tonight. There's a few Bromley fans actually that have booked tickets coming down to support
it. Brilliant. That's in the Ravens Bar.
It is in the Ravens Bar, yes. So Mick McCarthy is coming down. Neil's going to come down and meet him as well. I know they know each other, so it'll be great for him to catch up with Neil. It's sure to be a fantastic night, and hopefully opens the door to similar things in the future.
Brilliant. And obviously on the events side of it, I know Chloe and Jerry Downey are also working on an evening with sporting dinner during the off season. I think it's possibly going to be end of May or in the middle of June. So do check out, keep an eye on the website out for that. Hopefully as soon as we've got some details confirmed, because I mean the guests that they were talking to that trying to line up were quite high calibre, I must admit. So looking forward to that one. And obviously Matt, tomorrow you also welcome the Bromley under 10s and Orpington under 8s.
Again, quite a few people coming down tomorrow. So we've got the Bromley under 10 Solis are going to be our mascots tomorrow. We've got Orpington under 8 Colts who are going to be the flag bearers, and we've also had a last minute addition to the flag bearing army for tomorrow, if you like, or the guard of honour, which is the Bromley under 9s. And we've really made an effort to make it more inclusive to the junior section this season. The whole match day experience, the whole vibe of the club, it's become so much more inclusive this
definitely
year.
Definitely bringing everything a lot closer together.
It's fantastic to see, and they love coming down. They're emailing me asking when can we come next. It's brilliant.
Brilliant. And on the first team, obviously back to the first team affairs now, we've managed Cookie decided to take part in this podcast.
Oh, it's nice, isn't it?
Yeah, he's made an appearance. He has managed to catch up with first team coach Alan Dunn on a various number of topics, I understand. And here's what he had to say.
one of the final interviews of the season, joined by Alan Dunn, first team coach and defender, 36 and still going strong, still featured in quite a few games this season. Alan, how's it been for you mixing the role?
Yeah, I enjoy both. I know the playing side at some point is going to come to an end, which you never want to happen, but you've got to be realistic. 37 in August, still fit, but I enjoy playing, but I also enjoy coaching. So it's been a mixed season, sort of on and off sort of plan. But my job is to help the next ones coming through and to try and better them, help the right back, help Brins, whoever it may be, and try and progress the team in that way.
You've also been involved in the academy as well. Is it exciting to see the talent coming through that side of the club as well?
Yeah, it brings back some memories from when I was coming through, and the step-ups you got to make. We got a good group coming through, come and train with us every now and then. I keep an eye on them. I went and watched the Kent Cup final, their Cup final the other night. And there's some good players coming through, and we're trying to nurture them, help them, and progress some of them into the first team.
Have you got any particular highlights this season? I know it's we didn't have the finals at Wembley or sort of like pushing for promotion this season, but is there any particular highlights that stick out in your mind?
Yeah, it's a difficult one, but beating Orient was fantastic. Obviously, I played at their place, and when we beat them here on the Tuesday night, when it was in a full packed, it was a fantastic highlight for me. And obviously, being your old club, beating them, a team at the top of the league, it was a great night, and it showed that we can compete with the teams at the top.
Fantastic. And is there any sort of like lows of this season for yourself that you stick out in your mind as well?
Never lows. The only low that I'm getting another year older, another year to not being able to go out there and play. But no, never lows. A lot of learning, loads of learning, and learning about the league and about the players again, and progressing in my own learning. That's for me, yeah.
And finally, obviously, we know you're going to be here next year. So is that going to be more focused to coaching, or is it going to be there's still going to be a couple of games here and there that you might sneak in and play?
Yeah, there's certainly don't put your boots away yet. So I'm sort of, look, I'm going to probably register as a player if he needs me again. Keep fit. I do train with the boys and every now and then, but my future's in coaching and progressing that, and that's my main aim.
Brilliant. Alan Dunn, thank you very much.
Great to hear from Alan Dunn there, as always. We should probably use Cookie's referral there to highs and lows of the season to ask this week's question, Matt.
Yeah,
sorry.
Oh, yeah, sorry. I was going to... yeah, so our question for this week is, what is your pick of the season? So what is your highlight of this season? And I know at times it's been difficult and there might not be too many...
Don't worry, it doesn't have to be footballing.
No, we haven't said that. We haven't limited it.
It could be something on the terrace. It could be part of a journey to an away game or...
Anything.
You know,
we're open
so
to...
I love the intimate moments. I love the stories that, you know, you just won't know unless someone tells you about something that happened in a pub before a game, or something their kid said to them on the way to a game or during a game, or I'm really looking forward to it. Your highs of the season. How can they get in contact, Matt?
So you can get in contact by tweeting us at Bromley FC using the hashtag Ravens Weekly. You can reply to the posts on Twitter or Facebook or Instagram, or you can email us podcast@bromleyfc.co.uk, and we really look forward to hearing from you.
Brilliant. Obviously, we're not quite at the end of the season. We've got one more game to go. Home to Ebbsfleet tomorrow. Early kickoff, 12:30.
Yeah, don't forget that.
Just in case they needed to televise us, but that wasn't the case. Unfortunately.
Happen,
nice early kickoff. Turnstiles are open early. Ravens Bar is open earlier. We're serving alcohol from 11 a.m. So don't take it easy, everyone.
Absolutely. Pace yourselves.
And they've got to pace themselves, Matt, because it's quite a busy afternoon, after the game.
It is a very busy afternoon. And we've just actually released the website article. So anyone who's listening to this may just want to double check things on the website. We have our end of season awards presentation straight after the match tomorrow. And it's actually going to be on the pitch, isn't it, Jeff? So
Don't rain.
Please, anything but rain and wind and bad weather. So we've got a few things to get through.
I have to say that, I mean... The main reason doing it on the pitch presentation is, and I know they're going to do it just inside from the main stand on the halfway line. Hopefully, everyone's gathered behind the goal, around the stand, etc., in L shape. We just don't have a space big enough, Matt.
No.
You do it in a Ravens Bar, it's just too small. Whatever speaker system we put in, it never works. You can't fit everyone up in a venue. Marquee, yes, you can fit maybe a bit more people. But you know what? Every time we've done the pre-season meet the players, meet the management, or I remember the Wembley send-off on the pitch with the youth section and everything like that. It's really gone down well. And yes, such would have been lucky with the weather in the past, and that's really helped. But I'm really hoping that, this will be a nice occasion on the pitch for everybody to listen, hear, watch, see, enjoy, etc. And then, of course, the Ravens Bowl will be open as normal afterwards. DJ course, in there. Yeah. I'm hoping not karaoke, because I've banned certain individuals following recent years' performances.
Cookie.
But yes, sorry, Matt. So after the game, obviously we've got slight running order events, I guess,
we can make people aware of. First of all, I spoke to Neil earlier and he said he's going to take the players back into the dressing room, obviously, for a post-match team talk. That also gives us a little bit of time to get everything ready. So he's going to do that, then they're going to come back.
Yeah, there's quite a few awards. Yeah.
There is a lot, yeah. So I'm just going to run through them. So we've got a few appearance landmark awards, which is obviously when a player reaches an appearance milestone.
There's been a few this season.
I think we've got an
a few surprising
one.
Ones as well.
Yeah, there is. Yeah, it's good
won't
to see.
We won't spoil a surprise.
No, we won't. Absolutely. We've got the top goal scorer. No prizes for guessing who that is. Committee player of the
Jerry
season.
Jerry Dolkin. No.
Oh, he'd like to think so, wouldn't he? He's going to present it actually, which is a nice little touch.
Brilliant.
Committee player of the season, management team player of the season, players player of the season,
player,
the much anticipated, the one you've all been putting your votes in for, supporters player of the year, which will obviously, we don't even know who that is yet. Let's just
not at all. Yeah, that's brilliant.
Jim is the only person who knows, and the person who engraved the trophy. So we'll see.
Fantastic. And then obviously Neil Smith will no doubt address supporters and give a speech on the season and looking ahead. And I believe chairman of the board and co-owner Robin Santon Cleeves will also be on the pitch to give an end of season speech to the fans, which I'm sure no doubt will include interesting updates. Some exciting news.
I'm looking forward to it. Yeah, it should be fantastic. And not to forget, after all of that, we've got the presentation of the shirts to the player sponsors from this year.
Going back, a few people, it hasn't been as smooth as we'd like in the past, unfortunately. Yeah. However, we're going to nail it this season. Oh, sorry, I'm taking over this bit. You actually know more about it than me, and you can speak.
I spent many hours doing this yesterday, trying to think of the best way to organise it, and you gave me a good little tip. So we followed that one, and we're going to be presenting them on the pitch with the players that you've sponsored, which is a really nice way to do it. In previous years, we've not always been able to do that.
It gives you opportunity for the meet and greet, gives you opportunity for the photo at the same time.
And for the player to thank them as well, because... It's 100%, a commitment, isn't it?
Definitely, yeah. I must admit, every season you do get the players. You have a little flick through the programme. They do ask who's this, who's that. It's quite interesting. It's been a great opportunity, like you say. Most of the players make themselves available in the bar afterwards. But this is going to be a nice moment for everyone to enjoy on the pitch. So my understanding is obviously everyone's remaining off the pitch anyway. But
yeah.
After Robin's speech,
yes,
we then obviously going to be asking those who have sponsored a shirt
to come near
to
the
make
pitch,
their way onto the field, come to a gate where a steward is, and they're going to let them on.
And we'll obviously call them out one by one. But yeah, just a big.
Are you calling out one by one?
Well, I don't know. I thought that's what we're going to do. I think we can do that. We should be able.
Well, either way, at some point they're going to be asked to come onto the end of the field,
exactly,
where the players are going to be waiting for them with their shirts. And their signed shirts. I've got another note to make on that, but with their signed shirts, again, great opportunity. Allows the sponsors to be able to meet and greet them, get their photos, etc. I'm sure personalised shirts if they need to make an extra message.
Match worn, aren't they?
Saying that, match worn, obviously, the home game, those who sponsored the home shirts have got an option to make, really.
Choosing.
Obviously, they come on meet and greet, get their photo with a player. Obviously, we're going to take those shirts, get them washed, and get them signed. Although, if there are any people that are desperate to get their shirt signed in that moment and take it home unwashed, I'm sure the option's there, Matt.
It is, yeah, absolutely. we'll leave that one to the individual or the business that's sponsored the shirt.
But again, a big thank you to supporters, sponsors, everybody who's got involved in that again this year. Again, I think it's raised an incredible amount.
And I think it's been the most successful as well. We've had the best uptake on it, I think, for a long time.
Absolutely brilliant. So the key things to remember, tickets are still on sale. Discounted rates online, they're cheaper if you buy them in advance on the day. Turnstiles and the Ravens Bar are open earlier tomorrow from 11 a.m. Alcohol served in a Ravens Bar from 11 a.m. Kickoff is 12:30. Presentation afterwards and DJ in the Ravens Bar.
And then a post-season beer.
And a post-season drink.
Not just post-match, post-season, which will be fantastic. Really looking forward to that.
Brilliant. I think that's about it, Matt.
I think it is. I think we're ready to wrap that up now. So
fantastic. A big thank you to everybody who's tuned in, listened and downloaded to this episode as always, and has put up with us for what, 36 episodes
and
now,
and we will be back, won't we? Now,
we're doing one next week.
We are, yes.
Episode 37.
Yeah.
But for now, that's it. A big thank you to Crown Ash Developments as always for their support of this podcast, and we'll see you all tomorrow.
See you then. What's all this stuff you're giving? There's just one team for me, and that's the town where I come from. In Bromley, in Bromley.